I'm going to name you Beth. Beth?
Yes.
Because you're right now your iPhone, so.
Yes.
But Beth, Beth. And his owner, Keith? Or?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay.
I disowned myself, though.
Yeah.
There you go.
Disown my thoughts.
Okay.
Indeed.
Okay. John, I want to thank you for all your clarity with us. That's really helpful.
Yes.
Good, good.
I agree with that.
Guru.
Yeah.
Keeping me on the, keeping me away from thinking about being.
Again, Jagu.
I'm finding that I have been watching too much news, so I feel like it's better to minimize that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all illusion. So to spend a lot of time on illusion, you might as well watch a good drama, you know, and follow a nice TV show on TV and enjoy that, because it's the same. Like everything that's appearing and disappearing on this screen, whether it be a drama or a comedy or a horror or the news, all of it is just illusion. And
well, I realize that, but we are in these bodies, and even though it's illusion, we are affected by some of it.
Only if you allow yourself to
be. Only if you allow yourself to.
Yeah, I mean, truly, if you're formless, then what's going to affect you? Now, if there's a concept of you and it's like, oh, they're going to do this or they're going to do that. Number one, what's going to happen is going to happen because nothing's happening. So it's like if your mortgage company suddenly called you and said, you know what? We have to increase your mortgage because of XYZ or whatever. You do what you can do, but it's ultimately out of your hand. There's nothing that... and you just have to remain with yourself. It is not for you to get disturbed about illusory problems. And no matter how real they appear, you know they're not. And yes, you're right. Okay, we're using these bodies in this world, but they're just scenes appearing and disappearing. There's not a...
These bodies are affected by whether there's going to be a democracy or not in our country. Our bodies are affected by that.
This is projecting. And it's projecting based on a limited projection rather than the knowledge that the entire projection is on your spontaneous presence. If you look at it from a limited perspective and you're identifying with the local identification, the world is very scary. There are so many things that can happen to you. When you know yourself in a real sense, there are objects appearing and disappearing, and there's not the sting. And I know what you're saying, like, okay, if one political party comes into power, or if this happens, or the world, everybody's so angry, they're shooting each other in parking lots and all this kind of stuff. But how is it going to help you to sit there and worry about these things that you have no control over anyway?
You don't have to worry, but you can vote.
True. Yeah. Do your job, do your duties.
Yeah.
For my own self, I voted early. I went and I voted and it's finished.
Okay.
And
I did too.
I'm not going to be one of those people who's like, oh my God, my candidate didn't win. So now let's have an investigation and all this kind of stuff. No, if he wins, he wins. If he doesn't, he doesn't. These things, if we look back in the human history, no one has like destroyed the world, so to speak, you know? You've gone through different periods of ups and downs. But again, that's why you identify with your own self. When you know yourself in a real sense, this is not going to be so troubling. I'll tell you one thing that's very troubling. I'm watching this Nexium thing on HBO. And evidently, this they just started the season two, but I started watching season one. And it's all these people who are seeking this spiritual guidance from this guy who's just horrible. Now he's doing like 120 years in prison, which he deserves, absolutely. But when you hear them talk about the fact that, oh, I'm feeling all this joy, and this person's giving that to me, it makes you cringe. As Maharaj says, no one can give you anything. Like to come to someone and say, and that's why a lot of, you know, the gurus who say, okay, you have to surrender your belongings. You have to, you know, bow down. You have to follow guides. You have to do this. I am higher. You are lower. You don't know. I do know. This is all BS. And I'd like to kind of make a public service announcement out there. If you are on a spiritual path and anyone asks you to give up like personal belongings or your personal freedom, or tells you that there's this wonderful new thing that you don't know and that they do, no. Maharaj says, I'm not making disciples, I'm making masters. He didn't want a massive followers. And, you know, so many internet gurus have like, look at my 3,000 followers or whatever. Maharaj wasn't like this. Don't follow. Follow your own self. Follow the trail back to your own selfless self. Be in that presence. Be with you always. You know, this Nexium thing is shocking. And to hear people saying that, oh, I feel so much joy. Yes, because that's your natural state. And yes, this person was like kind of doing an inquiry and removing different various blockages. But guess what? This inner peace that you're feeling, this inner joy that you're feeling, all these people are saying, oh, I'm feeling this amazing peace, so I'm willing to give up things. No, this peace is yours. Mm-hmm. You remain with your selfless self. Nobody can give you anything. No master can suddenly say, you know, the Shakti pat. Oh, let me tap you on your head and boom, you explode into Kundalini and now you're enlightened. No. Because this is all in you. Because this entire world is projected on your spontaneous presence. The true master will say simply, you are that. It's up to you to investigate that. And then we'll answer questions of why you believe you are not that, again, pointing to the fact that you are that. Once you've identified yourself perfectly, there is no, you know, and I do understand there's, it's a crazy world. And if you identify with a limited something and you believe truly in your heart, this is my life, then it's going to be painful. It's designed that way. Imagine though all the people struggling in your dream. You know, imagine you go to sleep tonight and somebody's there and saying, I just can't take this life anymore. It's so much stress. It's so much this. It's so much that. It's so much pain. It's so much suffering. And you're like, well, wait a minute. It's, you're not even real. Like, you're a figment of the imagination of the dreamer. You're formless. Yet, yeah, do your job, do your duties, take care of your responsibility. You go, you vote. Okay. Read the news, maybe on a Google feed. First thing in the morning, scan down it and forget it. Because it's like, oh, you know, oh, this is happening. But if you're sitting in front of the TV all day long, I'm quite certain it's going to be disturbing. I mean, I think Maharaj sitting in front of the TV all day long with like, oh, this. Number one, I can't see him doing that. He'd be like, okay, let's have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Actually, I never saw him watch TV. Except when, what's his name? Sri Ranjit Maharaj was on the TV. and we would do it in the ashram. Then we'd have Sri Ranjit Maharaj on the TV for different, you know, during different celebrations for Siddhameshwar Maharaj and Balsed Maharaj. So, yeah, and like I said, this Nexium thing where these people, they're experiencing a taste of their own self and attributing it to someone giving them that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ultimate mistake. And this is how, you know, like Nisargadatta Maharaj, he used to talk about Osho and the Osho followers and how they were doing these things and all this kind of stuff. And he says, I'm not beating on anyone. Osho knows himself, and he's dancing with the dolls, basically. He knows the reality, and it's all a play, so he's playing with all the ignorant. And Nisargadatta Maharaj says this. It's not an insult. It's just a reality. It's like, okay, he's playing with all the ignorant. The ignorant that believe that they can come to some guru and somehow, some way, get something from it. And some people are very happy to play this. But this is within the illusion.
Yeah.
And that's why you and every single person on this planet is not a person, is the presence. This can be discovered, but you must discover this for yourself. And as Maharaj says, once you know yourself in a real sense, you're not going to go out chasing all these masters. Right now, if there was some master somewhere and he's on YouTube and he's on TV and he says, you know what, all I have to do is just touch you and you will just explode into enlightenment. If you know yourself in a real sense, you'll be like, okay, that's very nice, thank you. As a matter of fact, Nisargadatta Maharaj tells a story about this Tiki Baba, I think it was. And this guy, he is like super powerful. He has all these amazing powers. And he's about to pass. And he tells his servant to go to Nisargadatta Maharaj and say, my master is willing to give you all of his power if you come and see him. And he said, please tell your master, I'm not an orphan. Because that was right after Siddhameshwar Maharaj was no longer in body form. But Maharaj says, I am not an orphan. In other words, I have a master. This master is internal. I know myself in a real sense. No matter how powerful Tiki Baba is, he can keep his little powers and all that kind of stuff. Because, and Siddhameshwar Maharaj cautioned all his devotees, powers are the ultimate, like, terribleness, because you're stuck in illusion. Because, oh my gosh, I can hold my breath for so long, or I seem to be able to leave the body, or I'm able to heal others. Even Nisargadatta Maharaj, when he was passing out water and people were lining up to get water because it was healing them, Siddhameshwar Maharaj says, what are you doing? This is not knowledge. And it's confusing for the people because, hey, It's tying you down to these miracles are coming from me. I'm doing this. And as Sri Ramakant Maharaj has said, you may do the miracle, let's say, one time, two time, but now third time, it doesn't happen. Oh. And now, what is happening? Because nothing's happening, and you're not doing any miracles. Maharaj says, this is a magic box. Discover your own self. You are the ultimate. There's nothing other than your own selfless self. So, as he says, respect the masters. Okay, Ramana Maharshi, this is the presence that knew itself as Ramana Maharshi and came and spoke about that I know myself as this presence. And then Nisargadatta and Sri Ramakant, these all know themselves, respect. Yes, but you don't follow anybody. The guru-disciple relationship is truly, there's a guru, there's a disciple. They meet both dissolve into the presence that you are. There is no separation. And the true master will never, ever, ever be like, you know, different levels of, you know, okay, these are my good disciples, these are my bad disciples, these are my inner circle. This is not the truth. Because master sees everything as, again, as somebody asked before, how do you see the world? And it's like form. There's a bunch of forms. Mm-hmm. Now, each form may believe itself to be separate, but they're just rooms in a big house. And I think that's even in the Bible where it says, my master's house has many rooms. My father's house has many rooms. They're just many rooms in this big house, but they're forms. Lumps of five elemental goo being moved about by that power, that energy that you are within your own self. Because the forms are appearing and disappearing within the formlessness. The five elements are created within the formlessness that you are. And they're all illusion, so they're not actually created. They appear. And then when we drop down into the body-based existence, we explain how this existence is. You know, Das Boot gives like five chapters to the wind and the fire and all this, and how the world came about in the beginning and how the elements started doing all their thing. But it ends with, you are not. Right. Like, nothing is true. You can explain illusion 100 million ways. Think about this. You fall asleep tonight and you have to explain your dream. How are your dreams started? And let's say you're very intellectual and you can explain how the dream started. First, there was this space. And then within the space, objects began to appear. And these objects came, and each object was based on an element from another object. We have trees, we have grass, we have water, we have air, we have clouds. You can certainly explain your dream if you piece it and intellectualize it. And when you wake up in the morning, what's the point? When you know yourself in a real sense, there's no need to explain the existence that's appearing that is not true. Nor is there a need to explain how this body is created, which is not true. This body is within you. You are not within it.
I'm glad you voted.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You live your life, you do your job, you do your duties, but you don't take anything so like, oh, so, you know. All the people that say, oh, recession is coming, it's going to be one of the worst ones ever and all that. But people lived through the Depression quite nicely. I mean, yes, it was terrible, but they didn't like cease to survive. There was a time and it passed. As all things in the illusion do. I'm sorry, Chris, go ahead.
No worries. Thanks for mentioning, John, that Ramakant, or at least that you didn't see him watch too much TV. That's what I'm trying not to do lately.
Indeed. Yeah, I don't think I ever saw him watch TV, actually, except for Sri Ranjit Maharaj.
Yeah.
Now, he may have at his house. I don't know. I was only at his house a couple times, but he wasn't watching TV then, so... But see, even TV, you don't, in a drama, let's say, and I have done this, I've watched a television show, my favorite character gets killed or something bad happens to him, and I'm like, oh. And Zarkadatta Maharaj talks about that. When you're seeing on the screen, you may react with laughter, you may react with horror, you may react with tears, but you know it's only appearances on the screen.
Yeah, but Ramakant was so beautiful in selfless self John, because he really did talk about being your own security guard, you know, and watching your mind.
Yes, yes.
And meditating quite often, because he felt as though, he said, I think somewhere along the lines, like it only takes, you know, the roots are built up over years, but it can take a second to cut down the tree or something like that.
Yes, yes.
And, I love that. I love that he placed such a huge importance on making sure you watched out for the mind not to take over, and to keep with your selfless self, you know. So important for me.
Absolutely. When you know yourself in a real sense, it's like he would say, I don't have to keep saying I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. I know this selfless self.
Yeah.
And I no longer really have to do anything to maintain that I am.
Sure. Yeah, that's beautiful.
And people ask, are you meditating? This entire world is a meditation, because if you don't identify with a specific body, then your mind, that you're believing of a mind, is not here anymore. You're not thinking this mind is here, or that this thought process is here. You're formless. Therefore, yeah, what are thoughts? Thoughts are now the world.
Yeah, I'm not there yet, John. I need to meditate like a son of a gun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, and definitely. And the most, remain with mantra through everything. That's because there comes a time as remaining with mantra that you begin to see yourself performing activities without creating the concept of an experience or experiencing whatever is occurring.
Mm.
And that is like, because as Maharaj says, the mantra, you give the toys to the children, mother cooks the dinner without being disturbed. When you are giving this mantra to the mind, you, the you that you are, begin to see more clearly.
Sure.
And you can literally, you know, mantra while you're fixing tea, mantra while you're at work, while you're in line, while you're driving, whenever. And you will cease creating an experiencer, or even the fact that there was an experience.
Pray without ceasing.
Yeah, pray without ceasing, exactly.
They're very beautiful.
Yes. One thing my mind does, though, is it questions. It's not making any determination about what I'm about to say, but it questions whether free self of self state has to be maintained or not. Because, like, when you in language terms and in teaching terms, we say remain with the self of self and meditate, and it seems like that's some type of maintenance, but course, actually, it's not.
In the beginning, the illusory layers. Just like if you were to open a door to your house and leaves were to come in, you have to sweep those leaves out of the house and back outside.
Yeah. 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 I'm like, you know how they in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say keep going to meetings?
Yes.
I'm like a mindaholic. I got to keep going to my meditation.
I was wondering what. I'm thankful that John tolerates us week after week coming.
No. I mean, you, as you're meditating, because as Maharaj says, meditation is not just sitting here like, and trying. Meditation, the illusory layers are being removed with mantra. This fire is burning bright. There's a recognition in the projection, which comes as a sense of presence because we're in these body forms. You can use this body form as like a ladle to dip into the nectar of immortality. This sense of presence, you just... Even if it's a very small little pin, but there's a subtle, subtle presence. And my attention is trained on this. Remaining with the selfless self, this just I, and you're just here. And for a time, you sit and you sort of discover this, because in the reality, it's presence remaining with presence, dissolving the concept that there's anything other than presence, but without words. Not like going through some kind of spiritual process of dissolving yourself within presence. Presence, the recognition and the projection, like a magnifying glass, if the sun and you hit an ant or even a leaf, and it's the power is so strong. When presence is recognizing presence, presence remains with presence, consciousness with consciousness, selfless self with selfless self, then all the illusion just burns away, and you're here. And now, out into the world, do your job, do your duties, and you remain with this sense of presence. When thing, and see, it's almost a game, because all the things that seem to be occurring, you know, are not actually happening. They're happening within yourself. There's no reason to give yourself away to every passing thing, to put your attention, you know, as if you had 10 marbles and you want to keep as many marbles here and not out here. But every time a little thing pops up, you say, oh, here's a marble for you and a marble for you. And before you know it, you've given all the marbles and you have none. Rather, you want to keep these marbles. No matter how interesting this thing is, if it says, oh, I need one marble, please. No. Thank you. Anyway, I remain with myself. It can be explained like the chariot. You're riding these horses. And if you just let the horses go wherever they go, it's going to be a problem. They're going to speed up. You're going to flip and fall. But if you rein it in, and how do you rein it in? No. I remain with myself with self. It's not really an action, because instead of going outwards, you just remain. Yeah. And you have mantra. So in the daily activity, you can say, the world is my spontaneous projection. And these projections are vying for my attention to try and impress in me this illusory sense of I am somebody else. However, this opportunity to remain with myself with self, mantra, I listen to the mantra running through this body, and that listens to the mantra running through this body is not in this body. And it's consciousness with consciousness, presence with presence. Oh, so that I am that. And after a time, as you've maintained your selfless self, so to speak, through these illusory exercises, this concept of a you or I am somebody else dissolves. You still have a body, you see this, you can, you know, but you're not like, you can look at your hand and there's no registration here that this is my hand. Like there's, yes, I can use these, but there's not a me here that the wheels turn and say, John is doing this or John is doing that. I don't have to put on the clothing of John to do anything. I just remain as myself with self, with myself with self. Because except your selfless self, there's no God. There is no Brahman. There is no Paramatman. There is no master. There is no disciple. Nothing is there except your selfless self.
And that's when I recognize it's not fulfillment of desires that makes me, or that makes anything be the way it is. It's the desires are only possible in the first place because I am here.
Well, desire, you have to have a desirer, which is a creation. I am somebody else. I am an object that desires something. This whole wheel of I desire. And see, desires are meant to burn you out so that you'll give them up. And giving them up is almost impossible if you still believe yourself to be something. Then you have to be one of these renunciates who's like, no. I don't do this. I'm not involved in this. And then I create a spiritual ego that I don't get involved in these things, or, you know, celibacy, or don't do this, or whatever kind of thing. When you know yourself in a real sense, there's no need to renounce, because nothing is.
You recognize the desire isn't really, it's not, it's almost like it's not even there anymore.
A desire arises and goes. Well, what is there to desire? You're not an object. Now, if you get hungry, you eat. You get thirsty, you drink. Almost like Forrest Gump, you know? You know how he described his day? He's like, well, I was running. When I got tired, I slept. I got hungry, I eat. When I had to go, I went. You know? So it is a very similar, it's just like there's no conceptual timeline built.
Yeah, the mind wants to say that, oh, I fulfill this desire, I'm going to do it again and I'm going to get the same result. But you don't really know that.
That's the pleasure and pain principle. Yeah. That's addiction too. Yeah. You get something and you're like, wow, that was so wonderful. Let me try it again. Oh, it wasn't quite as good as before, but it'll be better next time. Yeah. And since it was good, this good at one time, I'm going to try it until it keeps getting as good as it was. And then it's not.
Yeah, the carrot on the stick, you know.
So, but again, if I'm somebody else and I truly believe that I'm someone that's renouncing, eventually I'm going to give in. Plus, I'm also going to be really just a horrible person, because I'm going to be like, I don't do these things. It's not. If you know yourself in a real sense, there's no pull. There's no place to hang your hat if there's no hook. And this hook is, I am somebody else. And everyone can discover this for themselves.
I'd like to share something that happened to me today. I woke up, I noticed I had a dream that in the dream, I was a female character, and she was crying because she saw perfection, so much perfection right now in the present moment, and she saw that I haven't always seen perfection, and then people don't see perfection. So she started crying, and then as I woke up and started going over the dream and recognizing what maybe the dream was showing me perfection. So so I was asking, what is that perfection? And then I realized, well, the perfection I could see right now is that I am nothing that I can know. I can't be anything that I can know. And then that left me with a sort of like a empty feeling for, well, if I'm nothing, then it's a booby prize, because there's nothing. But then it occurred to me that what is present is the amness. So I started seeing all my experience through amness rather than through my usual way of knowing being. Whereas, you know, usually I know this, I know that, this is because of this, and that's because of that. It's like being is being interpreted through a type of knowing, but I recognize that it's only because of am that anything is at all in the first place. And then I started seeing everything through the sense of am. So that it was, and I'm still feeling good about it.
Very nice, Keith.
I don't know. I started reading Master of Self-Realization. I don't know, that probably doesn't have anything to do with it, but
no, it probably does. Especially, you know, I think Siddhamesha Maharaj says, if you read Das Bodh just before going to bed, Sri Ramaka Maharaj says, read a little bit of spiritual something that before going to bed. We be with the mantra before going to bed, because the you that you are doesn't sleep. So there's a continuum. And it may express itself within the form base of your dream, just as it expresses it through the form base of this waking dream.
It's like the selfless am.
Well, no need to label, because remember, you're prior to words.
Yeah,
Words came along with the body, and you are not body. Even when we say presence, there's an understanding of what presence is, but then we kind of conceptualize it as
Thanks for pointing that out.
And presence is formless. It's felt through the body as this subtle just I. Nisargadatta Maharaj says, I am. Sri Ramakant Maharaj says, selfless self. So this subtle presence. But presence is also a concept that came along with the body, because prior to body, where was presence?
So funny, my mind wants to put a word on it, you know.
And that's why if you remain with your selfless self, it's like a black hole. Mm-hmm. It sucks in all concepts, all words, everything. Mm-hmm. Just with your selfless self. Nothing.